Need a syringe or an oil cap? Well, press print. The Navy has installed a 3D printer on an assault ship for just those types of emergencies. For more on the pilot test aboard the USS Essex, we turn to Lieutenant Ben Coleman. He's a member of the Chief of Naval Operations Rapid Innovation Cell. They are the officers responsible for putting the printer in the sailors' hands. And he joins us now. Ben, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, tell us about this 3D printer. What is it? What does it look like? What can it do?
Yeah, so the printer is about the size of a college dorm room refrigerator. It's in the range of $15,000 to $20,000, and it basically can print anything you want out of plastic. So it's not a very high-end printer, but if a sailor has an idea that he or she wants created, we have a technologist that we've worked with through the Walter Reed Medical Center up there in D.C., and he takes the design, puts it into the CAD, and then can transfer it to the printer, which in a matter of, 4 or 5 hours, depending on how big the project is, will create the widget that the sailor wants to use.
And so what kinds of widgets are we talking about? Because most of the ships I've been on are mostly made of iron and steel.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of plastic parts that are on ships, but for now, most of the things we're doing are prototypes and proof of concepts. So as you mentioned, there's an oil cap that they created that helped replace one of the ones that they were having problems getting a hold of. They've made some deck drains for other parts of the ship as an experiment. They've also created models of airplanes and helicopters to put on what we call the Ouija board, and that's basically a model of the flight deck that sits in a place called flight deck control, where they can monitor basically all the aircraft traffic on that flight deck. And in years past, they would have used things like nuts and bolts and really things to symbolize what the airplanes look like. But now we can actually print the exact replica of the span of those particular aircraft so that they get a good representation on that flight deck. And it's pretty cheap as well compared to what you'd pay, something else to get it.
So is this a need to have or nice to have?
Well, right now it's just a nice to have. We have some concepts of what it could look like in 15 to 20 years as a need to have. But for now, because of the state of the technology, our goal is just to get the technology into the hands of sailors and see what they would do with it. We don't anticipate printing things like gas turbine engines or, high stress parts for quite a while, especially because, as you mentioned, Tom, there's a lot of metal components involved in that, and those machines are incredibly expensive. But we think it's important that the sailors get exposed to this technology because it is changing industry to some extent, and we think that it could have a big impact on the future.
So it sounds like this is mainly a software challenge to be able to get in the item that you want this machine to print out. So who's using it, and what kind of software expertise do they have to make sure that the helicopter comes out the way they want it to look?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now we are using a technologist who is very well versed in CAD. He worked at the Walter Reed Medical Center for the past couple of years.
CAD meaning computer-aided design?
Absolutely, yep, computer-aided design. And our concept right now is that because of this expertise, we'll just have the sailors feed him the ideas, and he can do all the back-end hardware and all the back-end software development. But really, we think that as this becomes more prevalent, it's going to be necessary to start training sailors in this technology, especially if people want to make things on the fly, if we do get these on ships or in forward deployed locations. But that's going to, again, take probably years for that person to truly understand that it's a computer program, basically, except with, visual aided design. So right now we're using a contracted technologist, but potential for sailor training here in the future.
And suppose you want to replicate something like a key.
Yep.
That you wouldn't, and you had one already. Is there a way of scanning the existing thing so that it can be reproduced by this printer?
There is. We've found with the scanners that exist that a lot of back-end work has to be done to kind of fill in the gaps, if that makes sense. So basically, as the scanner takes the 3D image of the particular widget, it's not going to be a perfect replication just based on the state of the technology right now. So some back-end work has to be done. And oftentimes there's going to be refinements based on how the computer translates what they call a point cloud is being submitted to the computer. And oftentimes it's almost easier just to design from the ground up. But with the way that technology is progressing, 3D scanners are getting better, and that would potentially be a very useful outcome if they became good enough that you didn't have to do any back-end work.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Ben Coleman, a member of the Chief of Naval Operations Rapid Innovation Cell. So you have put this aboard the USS Essex. What do you hope to learn from this test?
really what the impact of a shipboard environment is on 3D printing and additive manufacturing tools. Back in October, the folks up at NAVSEA, which is kind of the program office in charge of all things on ships, did an experiment on the joint high-speed vessel with a similar printer and took some very preliminary results based on at-sea conditions and how the build platforms were affected and how the material was affected by being at sea with the rolling states and, you know, definitely a dynamic environment. It may be that we want to put these on shore-based facilities at first, and special technology will have to be developed for the more rigorous at-sea experience. But there are companies that are putting a 3D printer on the space station right now. So we know that some people are looking into the more robust environments and the more dynamic ones. So we really just want to see what sailors will come up with and also test the possibility and the effectiveness of it being at sea.
Suppose you came up with a need for a metal part on a ship and you fashioned it in the plastic on that particular printer. Could the software and the designs and even the prototype made in plastic be emailed, so to speak, and shipped ashore to be fabricated in metal to speed up things?
Absolutely. And that's actually being done around the country right now at a lot of our fleet readiness centers for obsolete aircraft and other obsolete things that the original manufacturer may not be around for anymore. To save money on casting and design costs, oftentimes the engineers will create that prototype and send that prototype directly to the manufacturer for creation. You know, they save literally tens if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on that design, especially for one or two off parts.
So tell us a little bit about how the shipmates have dealt with this new printer so far. I mean, what have they been using it for? Do they just kind of look at it and aren't sure what to make of it?
Yeah, so it's kind of a mixed bag. Some people didn't know what to do with it at first. Others kind of grasped a hold of the possibilities and have been running full speed ahead. When we first put it on there at the end of October, we put about five or six sailors through a two-week crash course on how the printer works, basic maintenance, you know, how to send files, how to transfer them from the computer to the machine, how to do some basic CAD work, and just kind of let them run wild to see what they could come up with. The original concept was to use it for medical applications because that's who our sponsor was at Walter Reed, and they had recently won a DARPA Grand Challenge to figure out how to create sterile medical instruments in austere environments, and the 3D printing option came out first, and they wanted to translate it to the shipboard environment. So there was a kit that they created that using, you know, for things like forceps and some other surgical tools that could potentially be disposable. Now, there are some concerns with the medical devices in terms of sterility and some other issues, but as proof of concept, it seemed to be pretty effective. But then as we opened it up to the engineering department, some of the smaller parts became, you know, up to came to the fore. So one of the really simple things that was mentioned to us that they were looking at was on the bottom of chairs, they have these little plastic things that oftentimes fall off and cause some instability in the chairs. And for whatever reason, this particular part happens to be backed up quite a bit. But it's super simple. You could potentially print those, put them on the bottom of the chairs, and solve, you know, a pretty, you know, minor issue, but at least it makes quality of life better. But then things like the oil cap came to the front, and then the building the models for the Ouija board and building deck drains. And when we think of creating a replacement part, often we think of, okay, this has to be 100% replacement. It's going to, you know, last for 5, 6, 7 years. Well, what additive manufacturing can get you is a get-home part. So if you're in the middle of the ocean and you have something break that's semi-critical, but you need something to last for a week or a week and a half, it may get you to that point where you can pull into port and get a more robust replacement for it and go from there.
I guess if the captain's chair tips over and he breaks apart, then you've got a problem you want to fix pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
The plastic in this device, is it hard? I mean, plastic, the word plastic could mean a thousand different materials.
Absolutely.
What is it that can be used as a wider range of things as maybe a syringe to the bottom of a chair?
Yeah, so we, in the printer that's on the Essex, it's just a pretty simple ABS plastic. But in the other lab we set up at CDSA Damneck down here in Norfolk, there's a wide variety, anywhere from Ultim, which is a more hardened plastic and can take higher temperatures, down to that ABS, and then softer plastics as well. Now, most printers can only take one or two type of materials, and only a very few printers can print multiple tiers at a time. So you have to basically choose at the outset what your build is going to be. But fortunately, a lot of the CAD software can do internal testing for you. You can take the 3D model that you've created and apply certain characteristics like certain material strength to it, and the computer can tell you, hey, how strong is it going to be? Now, rigorous testing still has to be done in the physical world to make sure that it does, in fact, meet those specifications. But there are varying degrees of plastic strength. It really just depends on how much you're willing to pay for the material and then what the purpose of that thing you're printing is.
So what's your next move in this test? I mean, are you going to be compiling data from Essex, or do other ships get this too?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just going to be the Essex that we're compiling data on. And if there's a use case that can be found fleet-wide, we'd hope that there'd be another sponsor to take it up. The premise of the CNO Rapid Innovation Cell is to experiment and put projects out there for a year and a half to 2 years. So our 2 years is going to expire here in October. And really, we just want to do demonstrations and proofs of concept. Fortunately, there are some interested parties. We know that there's a Naval Aviation Reserve unit looking at printing UAVs, so they've certainly used our technology and kind of the framework that we've created to look at a solution for that particular problem set. For this project, it'll probably be done in October, but we think that by laying out the groundwork and putting this in front of sailors, there will be a demand signal for it, and we'll see what happens after that.
All right, so no 14-inch shells coming, though.
Probably not. Not soon, no.
All right, Lieutenant Ben Coleman is a member of the Chief of Naval Operations Rapid Innovation Cell. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.